Truth Seekers. Welcome to tonight's program. How you doing? You had a fun day? This first hour is being sponsored by Tom Hansen. Thank you, Tom. Dick Clark died today. It bears mentioning, I think. I really do. He was only, truly, only 82. According to sources, he suffered a fatal heart attack this morning. Anybody, I guess, over the age of 40? Well, no, I guess anybody, because he went on then to become very popular with the Rockin' New Year's Eve countdown from Times Square every New Year's Eve. But he also had just a niche in this country. I mean, when I think about Dick Clark, American Bandstand, it's just part of Americana. It is as much a part of America as a Ford or, you know, national park. Just pick something that is quintessentially American, and I think true of Dick Clark. And as you know, he was diabetic. He had a stroke about 8 years ago. And apparently he had a fatal heart attack during a visit to a hospital in Santa Monica. He is survived by his wife and three children. So long, Dick. Very interesting piece in at Counterpunch.org by Alexander Coburn. He rambles, as Coburn occasionally does, but the main subject is why it's okay to stick it to Romney for being a Mormon. Okay. As Coburn points out, Romney is going to be the Republican to face Obama in November. And as Coburn points out, Santorum got roughed up for actually espousing conservative Roman Catholic positions. And they are, those kind of positions. All right. For some reason, though, Mitt Romney is being given a pass as a Mormon, as though his religion is of no consequence, kind of like Bill Clinton's Baptist label. You know, just no consequence. That really doesn't mean anything. And commentators and news people and columnists evidently feel it's poor taste, as Coburn puts it, to suggest that a candidate's religion might have some bearing on his conduct, and that the candidate should be properly grilled on the matter of his religious beliefs. Coburn goes on to say, no doubt in the upcoming campaign, Romney will attack Obama for his associations with radicals. The lunatic idea, most recently promoted by the now dead Andrew Breitbart, the most lunatic idea being that ex-weather folk Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn imparted to the eager Obama the left's secret plan to take over the United States and put everyone in slave labor camps, have abortions, and engage in unmentionable sexual practices. But you see, the left never had a secret plan, or much discipline for that matter. But the Mormons really do have secrets and a lot of discipline. Coburn has some questions. Does Romney espouse Mormon doctrines about gays or not? About obedience to the prophet or not? If not, then isn't he a fake Mormon without a shred of principle? Why should we believe anything he says if he doesn't practice what he claims to practice? If he does believe these things, then where does that put his loyalties and priorities as someone hoping to be president of the United States? and supposed upholder of the Constitution. Of course, Obama has shredded substantial portions of the Constitution without even the excuse of being a Mormon. But I digress. Coburn wants to know, what about Romney's associations? He's no ordinary Mormon. By lineage, upbringing, and personal decision, he's about as dedicated a Mormon as you can be, which is very dedicated indeed. Coburn says, I urge you to check out the piece by a former Mormon in our current newsletter, which delves into Mormon practices and points out that Romney attends a Mormon temple. Temples are only open to those members who adhere completely to the strict standards of Mormonism, including unwavering loyalty to the president of the church. You can't be a cafeteria Mormon like you can be a cafeteria Catholic. According to this piece in their current newsletter, the level of secretiveness surrounding the temple is extraordinary. So much so that members of the Mormon Church who have not been to the temple have virtually no idea as to what they entail, these secrets. Before Mormons are allowed to enter a temple, they must be interviewed by two separate tiers of ecclesiastical leadership to determine their worthiness to enter these edifices. These so-called temple recommend interviews are the first issue of concern regarding Mitt Romney. Among the various questions asked of a member, one particular question goes as follows. Do you support, affiliate with, or agree with any group or individual whose teachings or practices are contrary to or oppose those accepted by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Now, the very nature of this question, coupled with several others regarding complete obedience to the president of the church, who is also the prophet of the church, put into question the overall allegiance of Mitt Romney and indeed all Mormons. If members are found to be in violation of this question or any other from a list of questions, they will not be allowed to enter the temple. And being blocked from entering the temple is tantamount to being blocked from entering heaven, albeit temporarily, because, you know, as with most of these religions, they can always repent. Now, among the various ordinances or rituals performed in the temples, none are more divisive than the law of consecration. This rite requires members to pledge all their time, money, and abilities to the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth, the Mormon kingdom. Couple this with the demand to sustain the president of the church as the only prophet, seer, and revelator on earth, and you have a particularly troubling form of absolute obedience required of Mr. Romney. Now, this is not like Kennedy's speech to the Baptist crazy people down in Texas prior to his election, that the Pope would not rule, that Jack Kennedy would be ruled by the Constitution or would follow the Constitution, as the oath says, to the best of his ability. But Romney is a whole different matter. Like I said, there's no such thing as a cafeteria Mormon. You either are, and you adhere to the strictness of this cult, or you are not. And Romney is one of the foundational members, so to speak, of Mormonism. So what to do? What to do? Do you suppose he'll be questioned? Do you think anybody cares?
It has.
So we'll be right back.
Awesome parts. You simply won't believe how much this book can change your life. Hello, my name is Elder Green. I would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ. Hello, my name is Elder Young.
Hello.
Did you know that Jesus lived here in the USA? You can read all about it now.
Hello.
In this nifty book, it's free. No, you don't have to pay.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Elder Smith. And can I leave this book with you for you to just peruse?
Hello.
Hello.
I'll just leave it here. It has a lot of information you can really use. Hello.
Screaming with Mike Malloy.
And of course, Romney is—he's a liar about everything. I have yet to hear this man open his mouth when he wasn't lying. In addition to the fact that he is totally inarticulate, he disavows positions that he had last year, the year before, 5 years ago. And it's not a question of somebody changing their mind. It's a question of somebody who is attempting to sell himself to the radical, or I should say the reactionary right wing in this country, as something that essentially he's not. Romney is part of a very clearly defined subset of the Christian faith, to the point that it is nothing more nor less than a cult. I mean, it's really got some crazy stuff in it. If you have ever read the Book of Mormon, or if you pay any attention to their positions on certain issues, you have to come to the conclusion that, like L. Ron Hubbard, Joseph Smith was out of his goddamn mind. I mean, these are just crazy people. That's all. There's nothing here that's obscure or obtuse or hard to fathom. I mean, they're just crazy. But Romney's also, on top of everything else, a complete and total liar. He doesn't care what he says. Not only that, but when he starts accusing people of things, he doesn't check any facts whatsoever. He just starts accusing. For example, Romney and his campaign have offered a half-assed explanation of why he will only release one more year of tax return data during the rest of the campaign. Only one more, see? he's released his 2010 return, and he said, okay, you're going to get one more. That's it. And the 2011 return, he's not going to release until sometime in the next 6 months. Well, let me see. Where are we? We're in April. May, June, July, August, September, October. Oops. Now, every time he's asked about this, Romney and his crew have had a ready answer. Here's the answer. He's meeting the same standard prior candidates, including Democrats, have met. Romney recently told one of the freaks on CNBC, quote, John Kerry released 2 years of taxes. I've released one already. Put the estimate out for the next year. We'll have 2 years of taxes, end quote. That's his fallback position, but it's also a lie. When Kerry ran for president in 2004, he had released 20 years worth of tax returns. The extent of that disclosure was first reported by Think Progress yesterday. But even after the site published its report, there were lingering questions. It was impossible to find copies of Kerry's tax returns on the web, and if he released them during the 2004 campaign, he did so without much fanfare. But according to several veterans of the Kerry campaign, that's because Kerry made it standard practice to release 5 or 6 years' worth of tax returns during each of his Senate campaigns, meaning that when he launched his 2004 presidential bid, 18 years of tax returns had already been made public. And he then released an additional 2 years' worth during the campaign. Those returns were sent to local Massachusetts reporters covering the Senate race rather than the National Press Corps. A newspaper archive search confirmed their disclosure. But Romney is a liar. Romney's going to align himself with the Swift Boat veterans bull crap that went after Kerry in 2004. Now, it should be noted that on areas other than tax returns, Kerry was transparent as well. His campaign released all of his military records after these right-wing, half-assed critics questioned stories related to his time in service. He also released 15 years' worth of meetings he had with more than 300 lobbyists while serving as U.S. Senator. The New York Times put it this way on April 23, 2004, quote, the list detailing meetings between 1989 and late last year, 2004, that were often held over lunch, dinner, or cocktails, identifies many participants who have contributed to his campaign and in some cases become fundraisers for his presidential run. The Kerry organization produced the list after President Bush's campaign asserted that the senator had not been forthcoming in disclosing information like his military records. The release was intended as a contrast to the position of the Bush administration, which has not made public a similar list of meetings with lobbyists. Romney has released the names of lobbyists who have bundled money for his presidential campaign, but only because he's required to under law. He said no when asked to release the names of his bundlers who are not lobbyists and therefore not registered anywhere. Romney is a liar. He's the worst kind of liar. He's a religious hypocrite type liar. We'll be right back. If you drive a car, 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 tax the street. If you drive to seats, I tax your seats. If you get too cold, I tax the heat. If you take a walk, I tax your feet. Tax time.
Flying Monkey Free Zone. It's Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Tom Hansen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much indeed. Chicken. Did you see this, hear about this today? Chicken. Everybody loves chicken, right? It's the top-selling animal flesh in the United States. Average American eats 84 pounds of chicken a year. I wonder if that includes the bones when they figure that. More chicken than beef or pork? Chicken! So, the Department of Agriculture is now proposing a fundamental change in the way that chicken meat makes it to the American dinner table. Are you ready? Of course, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? As early as next week, The government will end debate on a cost-cutting modernization proposal it hopes to fully implement by the end of the year. Now, the plan that's setting off alarm bells among food science watchdogs turns over the chicken inspection duties to the companies that produce the chickens for sale. Talk about the chickens guarding the hen house. What? The Department of Agriculture says, well, we'll save $85 million a year here by doing this. You know, we're in a cost-cutting era. Everything. Food stamps. Temporary assistance to needy families. Everything. Chicken inspectors. They're going to fire 1,000 government inspectors and turn their duties over to the companies themselves. Now, the poultry companies expect to save a lot more than $85 million a year over 3 years. That's what the USDA is talking about. The poultry companies will save $250 million a year because they, in turn, will be allowed to speed up the processing lines to 175 birds per minute. And there will be one USDA inspector at the end of the line. Now, currently, that's doubling it, because currently, poultry lines move at a maximum of 90 birds per minute, with up to 3 inspectors online. Ooh, Lord have mercy, get ready to eat some rotten, poison, feces-infested chicken! Whistleblower inspectors who work for the DA, USDA, are opposed to this rule, and they say, oh no, could this be true? They say the companies cannot be trusted to watch over themselves. Really? The chicken rendering companies can't be trusted? Is that like defense contractors? They can't be trusted either? I mean, gosh, chicken companies? Oh no. The whistleblowers say that companies routinely pressure their employees, most of whom speak English as a second or third language, not to stop the line or slow it down. Rapido! Muy rapido! Making thorough inspection for contaminants, tumors, feces, evidence of disease nearly impossible. One current inspector told ABC News, quote, at that speed, it's all a blur. Yow. Now, Georgia is a major go-to-market chicken-producing state. In North Georgia, in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, to be exact, not too far from our armed and well-defended compound, there are many chicken-rendering plants, and they are staffed, for the most part, with undocumented Mexican and Central American workers, even though Georgia has one of the most stringent anti-undocumented immigrant laws in the nation. It is so bad in Georgia that the farmers in South Georgia who don't truck with chickens, they have farms where they grow peanuts and cotton and produce. And they're having to plow their fields under because they did this last year. They're doing it again this year. Because, my goodness, there's nobody to pick the crops. But the chicken industry is different. The chicken industry is run by huge capitalist conglomerates who are heavy contributors to the Republican political machine in the state of Georgia. So here in Georgia, when it is clear to anyone with eyes that the chicken processing plants are staffed by thousands of undocumented workers, here they just wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, did you see him and Mexicans around here? No, I ain't seen none. Why have you? No, I ain't seen nothing. If I do, I'll give you a holler, boss. All right, you do that. It's just stinking here. And I'm not talking about the chicken feces. I'm talking about the whole political system. So now, the lines of decapitated chickens that haven't yet been chopped up, they've been eviscerated. The guts have been pulled out. Their little heads have been cut off. They have been defeathered, I guess is the way to put it. And as those chickens go whizzing by now, any evidence of visual contaminants. Now, of course, you can't spot E. coli or some of this. What's that word, Kathy? Campylobacter? Campylobacter, the real poisonous foodborne pathogen. I think that's the way you pronounce it. You cannot see those with the naked eye, obviously. But with no inspectors, there will be no unnaked eye taking a look at these carcasses either. No microscopic exam, nothing. And I'll tell you what, you want to see how this works? See if you can go get a job at a chicken factory and see if you can spot feces on a chicken whizzing by you at the rate of 175 birds per minute. Pew, 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 pew. That's 3 a second. Can you do that, booby? Can you do that? Tumors? No. So next time you have a nice big old chicken thigh or whatever you like, and you bite in and something goes, And you say to yourself, ooh, a ligament. No, no, might be a tumor. Doesn't mean anything. I mean, chicken tumors are chicken tumors. You know, they will make chickens sick. But I don't know. There's just something off-putting about eating chicken tumors, isn't there? Or eating chickens that come out of the plant all packaged up in that nice, clear plastic wrap. And if you were to take a look at it under a microscope, you would see, eek! Chicken feces! Oh, no! Well, you know what they say. It says right on the package. Make sure you cook it right. Make sure you wash it right. God forbid if you don't. Of course, I don't know. When you get the chicken home, the chicken parts, you better put on some of those disposable gloves when you handle it, you know, because if you handle chicken all covered with disease and pathogens and little beasties, you know, and you flour and butter it up and everything and drop it in that great big old skillet, that old cast iron skillet full of Crisco. Woo! Lord have mercy. Don't touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Don't reach up there and go, oh, damn, what I got in my eye. Don't do it. So, according to Office of Management and Budget Watch, a government accountability organization, cutbacks at the USDA have coincided with a significant rise in salmonella outbreaks. This accountability organization says 2010 was a record year for salmonella infection. And 2011 saw 103 poultry, egg, and meat recalls because of disease-causing bacteria, the most in nearly 10 years. As the inspections go down, oh, don't worry! Don't worry! The industry will take care of it, like they did the peanut butter factory down here in South Georgia. Remember that? How many people died from that, right? Don't worry! It's okay! Damn! We don't need all these government employees! Good Lord! The USDA admitted the new system does not employ more lab tests, since they're not going to have as many inspectors and they're going to double the speed of the line. Oh, well, we're sorry. No, no more lab tests. We don't have any money. You don't have any money. Okay. Foodborne illnesses. How many people a year die of foodborne illnesses? I'm sure the number is fairly substantial. Well, look for the numbers to increase. But isn't it kind of, oh, I don't know, kind of slickery when the industry says, oh, we'll police ourselves. Sure you will. Sure you will. And the chemical industry will police itself. And the pharmaceutical industry will police itself. And the oil industry will police itself. That's great. That's capitalism.
What am I to wake up suddenly and then enroll at the local college, earn me a degree, and I could work weekends if I work real hard. I can mow your backyard. I could go to Europe, travel with my friends. I could blow 1,000 Deutschmarks to get drunk in a pub with some Australians. Buy a giant backpack.
Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
Ten before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Tom Hansen. Thank you, Tom. Al Babe, the writer, artist formerly known as Al Gordon, sent me another email here. He says, considering the Republican pundits' constant misuse of terms like communist, socialist, I'm thinking we progressives need to take the talking point that, as opposed to the conservatives' misuse of words, is actually a truism. The Republican politicians are fascists. No kidding, Al Babe. They march in lockstep to the song of the corporations. And he gives me an example here from Crooks and Liars. A conservative Fox News contributor insisted Monday that President Barack Obama had a, quote, disdain, end quote, for women that he learned from his, quote, Marxist, end quote, father and his, quote, communist, end quote, mentor. Fox News contributor Sandy Rios was vice president of the Conservative Political Action Committee, Family Pack Federal, told host Sean Hannity that Obama did not disagree with CNN contributor Hillary Rosen's assertion that Ann Romney had never worked a day in her life. He didn't disagree, according to Sandy Rios. Rios explained it this way. His father was a Marxist. His mentor was Marxist. The Marxist theory on women is that they should work just like men. There's a total dripping disdain for women who stay at home and take care of their children. This is not an accident. This is what they believe. They hold people like Ann Romney and others of us that have stayed home with our children in complete disregard and disdain. A little hysterical, wasn't she? And then Kirsten Powers, who is a Fox News contributor, but she's a Democrat. Oh, my God. She disagreed. She said, that is not what Barack Obama believes. You don't know what you're talking about. You're making up stuff. Ms. Powers, you're on Fox News. You're on the Rupert Murdoch terror broadcast operation. Of course they make up stuff. That's not a news organization. It's a propaganda machine populated by dweebs, halfwits, and jerks. You should run, Kirsten. Run! When she said, you're making up stuff, Rios replied, Frank Marshall Davis was a communist. That was his mentor. His father was a Marxist. Frank Marshall Davis? Well, I'm sure that Rios knows what she's talking about. Last year, David Weigel, writing at Slate, said, quote, Obama's past and his philosophy makes very clear that he only read up seriously on socialism and Marxism when he got to Columbia. There is no evidence that Obama ever read his father's economic papers. If he did, it's unclear how dense tracts about the problem of post-colonial Kenya would have influenced his thinking about American urban class politics and economics. Oh, boy, was that a sentence. That's the kind of sentence that old Sandy Rios wouldn't even understand. What do you mean? What'd he say? What'd he say, boss? What'd he say, boss? What'd he say, boss? And contrary to Sandy Rios's claim, Obama did speak out against Rosen's remarks, saying it was, quote, the wrong thing to say, end quote. See, if Obama says something, he's a communist. If he doesn't say anything, he's a fascist. Fox, is there any justification for Fox? What really scares me, and it does. Well, it doesn't scare me. It just makes me sick and a little woozy to realize that Fox is the most watched cable channel on television, on the dial. The most watched cable channel on the dial. I don't know. I don't talk to people who watch Fox because, you know, I also don't pee into the wind. I don't run out into interstate traffic naked with the firecrackers going off either. But I don't talk to people who watch Fox. And you can usually tell. I mean, you meet somebody at a party or on the street, checkout line, at the store, wherever. And, you know, a little conversation. Hey, how you doing? Well, I'm all right. Boy, the price of milk, huh? Yeah, I know. Well, you know what I heard on Fox News the other day? Okay, goodbye. Out of here. What did you hear on Fox News? Well, what I heard was it's Obama's fault. Really? How? he's doing something to the cow population. Obama is? Oh, yeah. They're doing something to cows. I heard on Fox. I think it was on Han Shaughnessy's program. Who's Han Shaughnessy? Okay. Listen, nice talking to you. Goodbye. Pring! Millions of people sit in front of Fox and actually think, I don't know what they think. I don't know. But you can have two chumps on a Fox broadcast at the same time, and one of them will scream that Obama's a Marxist, and another one will scream, the same desk, sitting at the same table, with Hannity in the middle, with his bananas in his ears. The other one will scream, he's a fascist! The other one will scream, he's a communist! The other one will scream, he's a fascist! And Hannity will sit there twirling bananas in his ears. It's just amazing! Or not. Sponsored by Jeannie Aguilar, and she has a message. This is a salute to my father, Rafael, a gentle soul who died before his 65th birthday. Although he would be called an unskilled laborer, he was a farm worker. My father made sure his three children had the necessities to survive, which included accessing available social services such as free vaccinations, free lunches, and so forth. And would not apologize to anyone that he accepted the social services. And he shouldn't have had to. Janie, thanks for the sponsorship. In memory of her father, Rafael. The phone lines are now open. The number here is 877-996-2556. If you would like to comment on what we have talked about during the first hour or some other current topic, 877-996-2556. Bruce writes in, regarding those meat inspectors, the chicken inspectors, it isn't just that the lone inspector won't be able to see the chickens as they go by, but he won't be able to do other inspection duties at the plant. This is where they keep an eye on the general sanitation and other practices that speak to the wholesomeness of the product, like perhaps companies using unapproved or even banned chemicals that they might find convenient to use on the meat to control bacteria. The tumors on the chickens aren't the ones to worry about. It's also much easier to bribe a single inspector than to bribe three of them. Good point, Bruce, a.k.a. Prairie 2. Oh, my God. It is time to go totally vegan. You know it is. I know it is. I mean, as a matter of fact, there was a real good column. I think it was an op-ed piece, I think, in today's New York Times about just that. Was it today's New York Times? Or was it in Science Times yesterday? I forget. But excellent column about, I mean, you can't do sustainable meat. There's just no way. You can't do cows and pigs and chickens and lambs and sheep and whatever and eat them and provide for them the water and the space and so on and so forth that they need in order to be eaten. It's unsustainable. It cannot be done. And the writer of this piece made a very good point about, you know, just saying, okay, I'm not going to eat beef anymore. I'm not going to eat pork anymore. I'm going to switch over to fish and chicken. Mistake. Big mistake. And it is so true, is it not, that for all sorts of reasons, whether it is environmental or social or in terms of justice to our little four-legged co-travelers on this planet, yeah, you know, your own health, my health, pick a reason. There are a number of reasons for no longer using the insides of your stomach as a cemetery. James is calling from Mojave Valley, Arizona. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Yes.
Oh, good. I had an embarrassing moment last night mispronouncing Cartagena. I said Cartagena, so I want to make sure I've got it right. Mojave Valley, Arizona.
That's correct.
Welcome to the program, James.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out that if the companies are going to do their own standards, if they let the standards go down, they will either, number one, they'll be found out, just like Dole was found out. They produced the bad salad. They'll be found out, and they may even end up going out of business. I don't think it's in their best interest to let the standards go down. I mean, in some cases, you don't need the federal government or the state governments there to ensure cleanliness and quality of the food.
Ah, but you do. You do. You
absolutely. And why is that?
Why is that? Because the nature of capitalism is to make a profit no matter what. You might want to read a book. You ever heard of a book called The Jungle?
Yeah, I read it in junior high school.
Well, there's your answer then.
Well, we've come a long way from then.
Have we? And how have
yes.
we? And how have we done that? We have done that with federal and state inspectors, my friend.
Are you sure about that?
Am I sure about it? Are you?
I mean,
do you have a counter argument? How do you think we have
okay,
come?
Wait, today.
No. Stop, James. Stop. You're welcome to talk on the program. Do not interrupt me. That's rule one. That's the only rule I have. Talk like a normal human being or I'll move on. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay. Now, you read The Jungle when you were in junior high school, you said.
Yes.
And I said, why do you think that food in this country has been relatively safe? It is because of the agencies that were set up as a result of that book. The Food and Drug Administration, U.S. Department of Agriculture. Do you believe that these industries will police themselves? And they never have, historically. If there's not somebody watching over their shoulders, they never have. Do you really think they would now, all of a sudden?
Yes.
Why?
Because, okay, this week or late last week, Dole came out and said, hey, we got some bad salad out there. We're going to recall it. I don't think the federal government made them go out and do that. I think they did that on their own.
No, I'll tell you why they did it. They did it because if they don't do it, they are charged hefty fines. What they don't want is the fines. They don't care what kind of crap they put out there for people. Let me just suggest this to you, James. Let's supposing that we use your model and everybody is policing themselves and a whole raft of poison food comes through the pipeline and winds up in 1,000 different grocery stores. And people go in and buy this poison and they eat it. And oops! 64 people die and another 500 get deathly sick. Kidneys fail, livers collapse, lungs go into bloody masses, and all hell breaks loose. And your answer, I guess, would be then, well, then that company wouldn't do it again because nobody else would come and buy their food. Well, that's very true. So why not eliminate the step of the sickness and the death and the maiming and the crippling and the destruction? Capitalism must have an overseer. If it does not, it will take advantage of you. It will grab you, James, and force poison down your throat if there's a way to make a profit. Thanks for checking in. Man, why is that so hard to understand for right-wingers? There's no such thing as a free market. I mean, that doesn't exist. Capitalism is about capital. It's about profit. No matter what has to suffer, it is profit, period. How many companies, oops, I didn't mean to poison all those people. Okay, I'm out of business. And 2 years later, they pop up again. Here they are again. Different name, different board, different this, different that. Same company. If you don't have oversight, capitalism will rip everything to shreds even more quickly than it's doing now. I wonder if James understands the global financial meltdown. I wonder if he understands what happened. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. James would be the first to tell me that it was Acorn's fault. Never mind. We'll be right back. Pork or chicken, but a fat guy needs, yet the food tastes great, so you don't complain. But that's not chicken in your chicken chow mein. Seems to me I ordered sweet and sour pork, but Garfield's on my fork. He's purring here on my fork. There's a cat in the kettle at the Peking Moon, the place that I eat every day at noon. They can feed your cat and you'll never know, once they wrap it up in dough, boy, they're bright real crisp in dough. Chowlin asked if I wanted more as he was dialing up his buddy at the old pet store. I said, not today, I lost my appetite. There's two cats in my belly and they want to fight. I was sucking on a rolling in a Tums or two. Well, I swear I heard it, new boy. And that.
Here's Mikey.
21 past the hour. Bob the Poet is in Tennessee. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Mike. Microphone. You're doing great tonight. Last night, you were talking about Chesty Marine.
Chesty Puller, yeah.
Who forced the integration of the nearby town in Kent, Lejeune.
Not Jacksonville, North Carolina, but I was talking about that.
Well, I just the irony in America is strange. The May June issue of Mother Jones this year has an article in it called The Few, The Proud, The Afflicted, about ex-Marines who had been aboard Camp Lejeune.
Yeah.
Who have breast cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Something in the toxic soil that
it was trichloroethylene and chloroethylene, probably, so far the investigation has shown, heavy-duty chlorinated solvents that were used for degreasing machinery and such as that, and which contaminated the water. It was incredibly high parts per billion, 1,600 parts per billion, 320 times the current federal limit. And there's a whole bunch of these ex-Marines who have had, well, of course, many have died of different cancers, but there are many who are struggling with the after effects of breast cancer now, and it's just another way. And you know, the EPA has been fighting against the Pentagon for more than 10 years, trying to get TCE and PCE listed, and the Pentagon has been resisting it because they don't want to make this admission. It's the same as the infliction on the military for, well, you know, nuclear tests, Agent Orange in Vietnam, Gulf War syndrome.
I think you'll agree, Bob, this is how this is how capitalism treats its military, with total disdain, disrespect. Remember, to capitalism, to the right-wingers in this country, the only good soldier is a dead soldier. They would much rather give the awards posthumously than give them to a living soldier, because usually a living soldier who has gotten a combat decoration, even those who haven't, are suffering from all sorts of mental and psychological destruction. You don't go into combat, especially when there's no front lines, there's no uniform enemy you're fighting against. You're butchering women and children and civilians and men, and you're very sorry for it. And then you pee on the corpses and you hold up severed legs, and that's not supposed to have a profound and destructive effect. But this is what capitalism does. It's what they expect, and the way they reward the U.S. military or any military that works for a capitalist organization, the way they reward them is through death, sickness, illness, and now men getting breast cancer from these pollutants. Isn't it nice, Bob? Isn't it wonderful?
It's amazing, and it's not only that they treat the military personnel just the way you described, and their families who were also on base and drinking the water, but it's still allowed in the civilian. They say between 10 and 9 and 34% of the nation water supplies are contaminated with these chemicals, and it's still being used by dry cleaners. It's still being used in industrial degreasers.
Well, wait till the after effects of fracking, which is the new capitalist trick of the current year, the current decade. Wait till the effects of the chemicals that are being driven into the earth and starts polluting the water supply. I know that the oil and gas industry nothing to worry about. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. But wait till that starts to manifest. Bob, I got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
All righty.
All right, man. Take care. We'll be right back.
To weep
you're not this angry, then you're not paying attention. Back to Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Janie Aguilar. Thanks, Janie. Here's her message. This is a salute to my father, Raphael, a gentle soul who died before his 65th birthday. Although he would be called unskilled labor, he was a farm worker. My father made sure his children, all three of us, had the necessities to survive, which included accessing available social services such as free vaccinations, free lunches, etc., and would not apologize to anyone that he accepted the social services. Good for him, Janie. Thanks for the sponsorship. Tom is in Bullhead City, Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Number one, James in the first hour was a typical libertarian, and you were way too Tom Hartman-like. And number two.
wait. Tom Hartman-like?
No, you were not.
Well, that's actually, that's isn't that kind of a,
you
I mean.
You were very patient with that son of a, I mean, anyway, number two. That guy was great. I was an FMF Navy corpsman stationed at Camp Lejeune from 1976 to 1980. And that guy, if he's still listening, you need to hook up with the group that I'm involved with. The Few, the Proud, the Forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And just Google it.
The Few, the Proud, the Forgotten.
Yeah, he needs to Google that. And I'm part of this group. And, you know,
okay.
We're blessed. I mean, it is amazing that I just happened to hear him talk before me. Anyway, and Jamie, that was...
Well, wait, Tom, anybody who doesn't understand, they can read volumes on the necessity of oversight in a capitalist system, and it still won't register. Libertarians are beyond the reach of common sense. They live in some other kind of universe where everything works.
That brings me to my original point, was why I was calling, was because this crap about the Marines not paying their whore bills or whatever, I'll promise to keep it clean. I won't use any bad words. I'll watch my language there.
Okay.
But I'm talking about, I've done this, okay?
Yeah.
I did things to women in other countries that I wouldn't do to animals. Oh
my God. Well, Tom, why are you laughing?
I'm just terrible. But, I mean, everybody. I mean, you're 10 feet tall and you're bulletproof. You do this kind of stuff. It's been going on forever. And to make a big deal out of this, it's been going on. And then the other thing, the Las Vegas stuff. Huh? Please. $800,000+ compared to what, $9 billion?
Yeah, well, we talked about this other night, but I'm just kind of shocked about what you said. I'm gonna have to believe that you're just being, you know, it's typical guy talk that you've done things with women in other countries.
Oh my God. Okay, stop it. Okay.
No, Tom.
I am not a public figure. I am not Ted Union. I can't say I'm going to go around assassinating the president. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I understand, but I mean,
I'm not a public figure. I'm just talking stuff.
Yeah, but you're a human being, aren't you?
I'm being funny, right? I'm funny.
Oh, okay.
And I did
all right.
Your first hour.
Okay. Well, if you're just kidding, okay.
Stop it. Okay, I won't sponsor another hour because you just don't trust me.
If you're just kidding, okay. But when somebody calls me up, look, Tom, please understand my point of view. If somebody calls me up and says, I have done things to women in other countries that are unspeakable and vile and whatever you said, what am I supposed to do? Now, you tell me. Am I supposed to just go...
I didn't say that.
What did you say?
I didn't say that. You said that. You put words in my mouth.
What did you say then?
I said to animals, I have two puppy dogs. I love my puppy dogs. I would not do anything to my puppy dogs, like what you're sending here, what you're, you know, referring to. That's terrible. I mean, come on. You and Ted, you kill me. Anyway, you can go ahead and talk your rants. I love you, man.
Okay. Well, take care, Tom. What? I have no idea. Okay, no big deal. Arnold is in Durham. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, brother?
How you doing? I'm fine. How are you?
Anyway, brother. Hey, listen. I was listening to you talk with the chickens, how chickens are processed here in the United States.
Right.
Just the gunk that you got to eat if you eat a chicken. And I tell you what, people who listen to you, they should get in the truck with me and come on, go to some of these chicken process houses when I got a reefer unit. That's the only way I can get back to the terminal. They backhaul me picking up some chicken. I hate to even mess with a reefer unit.
Yeah.
I go there with fruit, and then I come back with some nasty, disgusting chicken, man. I went to one over there on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I opened the door, man, and it just took my breath. I was constantly throwing up. I didn't call you talking about dead chickens. I called you talking about this thug, Ted Bundy, not Ted Bundy, Ted,
Nugent.
What an idiot. What an idiot.
Oh,
what
he
a
is.
Foul mouth.
He is. He's escaped from some asylum someplace. I mean, we have all kinds of people like this. Nugent can't do music, not that he ever could. And so he's got to make these outrageous statements and then go suck up to Sean Hannity and act like, what did I say? I didn't threaten nobody. I didn't threaten nobody. He's saying that? Because the Secret Service now is right up his ass, and they're going to stay up his ass because he said this too many times about threatening the president. But he's a punk. He's just a punk.
Yeah.
And that's the only way he can get attention. Only way he can get attention is to stand up in front of these brain-dead freaks at the NRA or wherever the hell he was. He's on the board of directors of the NRA. You know, one of these days, you know what's going to happen? Ted Nugent's going to aim the wrong end of his crossbow, and the last thing he's going to see is a great big arrowhead coming right at his eye. that's going to be it. Whomp!
It's unbelievable, man. He wasn't talking to no Lionel. He was talking to all well group of men who think they're back in the old days. You know, back in the old when the Ku Klux Klan got formed up. This NRA thing is getting scarier here, Mike. It's getting scarier with what he's doing.
I know.
I was drew your attention to blackagenda.com. Glenn Ford, he has a real good piece on there about this new up and coming a white nationalist movement in this country.
Yeah.
How they going back to the old days? It's like back there when the blacks used to be first became a legislator in this country during the Reconstruction era.
Right, right.
And how similar it looks to the way things are nowadays. You know,
what is it? A black agenda. It's
BlackAgenda.org, and it's the author on that is Glenn Ford.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I'll check it out. BlackAgenda.org.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's a real good piece on it, and it's showing how we just settling back into the days of what it was back in the 1860s, going up until the 1960s when. When they signed the civil rights legislation, this country is really falling backwards, man.
Well,
just because they got a black man in the White House.
Yeah, there's going to be some kind of shakeout. There's going to be some kind of either reconciliation or something a lot worse than that. And I think you know it. I know it. I think most people who have the sense that evolution gave a pine tree understands that you can't live in a society, a multicultural, multiracial society like we live, and have one segment of the population running around with their asses on fire talking about, the Jews did that, or the blacks did that, or the gays did that, and trying to demonize. We've seen this movie before. It was called Fascism in Europe back in the 1920s and 30s. We've seen this movie, and we know what happens. We know that after all that nonsense ended, 65 million people around the planet were dead as a result of this fascist,
right, yep.
These fascist bastards, and we had unleashed nuclear bombs against a civilian population. We had 8 million exterminated in death camps. I mean, this is not just chump talk. These are people who are messing with the natural order of things, Arnold, if you know what I'm saying. And you can't,
very dangerous time.
You can't have people like that in a society like this one and expect that society to survive. It simply won't.
That's right. They walk around on the national monument grounds when they had the Tea Party rallies carrying all kinds of armament, all kinds of fully automatic weapons and sidearms. And
I know.
And then yellow signs, some of them, don't tread on me.
Well, they're just trying to impress each other. They're trying to say, look, mine's bigger than yours. Look at me. Look at me. Mine's big. It's like when you have, when you go to, you know, you're out in public, you go to the urinal, you go to the men's room, and you're standing there just trying to take a pee, and some guy comes up next to you, and he's got to take a look, you know? Is yours bigger than mine? Is mine big? You know, that's what the NRA is all about. That's why they show up with these huge multi-round clips. You know, mine's bigger than yours, sucker. Look at this. I got 48 in here. What do you got? I only got 38. Oh, you're a wimp. That's what that's about, Arnold, and you know it as well as I do. Hey, I got a boogeyman.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Take care. Take care, Arnold. I appreciate you checking in. For the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Janie Aguilar. Her message: this is a salute to my father, Rafael, a gentle soul who died before his 65th birthday. Although he would be called unskilled labor, he was a farm worker. My father made sure his three children had the necessities to survive, which included accessing available social services such as free vaccinations, free lunches, etc. And he would not apologize to anyone that he accepted those social services. And he shouldn't have to either. Thanks, Jamie, for the sponsorship. Steve is in Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Long time, no talk.
I just made a note to myself about that a week ago.
yeah, it's always good to hear from Bob and Arnold. All in one segment as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I may just briefly address James, your caller, about corporate or capitalist self-regulation.
Go ahead.
Reading list.
Huh?
Okay. James, Google Love Canal. Google Hudson River /GE.
Yeah.
Google Cuyahoga River in Ohio. Google Creosote Pit in the South. Alabama, Georgia, and the panhandle of Florida, which are EPA Superfund sites that are totally neglected. And the most recent, the dead Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about self-regulation by capitalists.
Well, again, though, Steve, no matter how much information you provide to someone like James, it's not going to register. First, he won't believe it. Just like when I said to him, well, something, I forget what I said because the conversation was so forgettable, but something about, the death and destruction caused by foodborne illnesses. And I think his rejoinder was prove it. Or, I mean, I can't deal with that. Nobody can deal with that. So if you sent him reams of information, stuff he should know, I don't know whose fault he thinks the Gulf oil spill was. I don't know whose fault he thinks Love Canal or any of these places. Number one, he probably wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
So
well, they invented Google, but yeah, I know. It's taken a while to read it all because they use a lot of polysyllabic words, so you have to sound them out.
And I'll guarantee you that you do not read The Jungle in middle school, or what do you say, junior high. I mean, you don't read it. I don't think there's a school in America ever that would say to the children who are 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, here, read this book. You'll like it. It's great fun. So, you know, in addition to not knowing what the hell he was talking about, I think the guy was, you know, he wouldn't know Upton Sinclair from a gas station. It just wouldn't. So, you know, what's the point?
Willful ignorance.
Yeah.
Extreme naivete, I'm not sure which.
Well, you know the old saying, there are none so blind as those who will not see.
Correct.
So
you're right.
What are you going to do?
Have a good one.
Okay, take care. Appreciate you checking in, Steve. Dennis is in San Francisco.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dennis.
I hear you ragging on libertarians, and I understand part of it. I'm a libertarian hardcore on a personal level.
Well, what I'm not sure what that means.
I just want to be left alone to live my life the way I like, and I pay my own way. I work hard. I'm responsible. I obey the laws and everything.
Well, you don't completely.
But on a national
you don't,
level,
Dennis.
Dennis,
you don't completely pay your own way. Come on.
Well, I pay my taxes.
I
own my house.
Okay, but you're still not paying your own way. I mean, you're trying. I try. But that's one of the reasons, other than these tax cuts to the wealthy, one of the reasons we're in the trouble we're in. You know, and I hear people say they pay their own way. You know, the first thing that pops into my mind, I'm being a smart ass, but the first thing that pops into my mind, oh, yeah, how do you get water in your house? Oh, you pay your water bill. Okay, where does the water come from? I mean, libertarians say, no, I don't need anything. Don't need nothing. I don't need, you know, roads, bridges, dams, electric grids. Nah! Look, come on. Libertarianism is a joke. It doesn't exist. Tell me where it exists. Tell me where it exists, Dennis.
It's a differentiation between trying to govern a country like ours with libertarianism. You can't do it.
Well, but you can't. But the libertarianism won't work anywhere unless you have a society of 20 people.
No, but on a personal level, individual life, you can live your life without religion. You can live your life.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. But isn't that? You know, maybe I'm just misunderstanding what you mean what you mean. Hold on. What you mean by libertarianism? To me, libertarianism is a political philosophy that says, you know, you're cast into the world with just one thing, your bootstraps, and then you're supposed to do everything yourself. Nobody in the history of the human race, going all the way back to cave people. No one ever did anything on their own. It's an impossibility. So
you're talking extreme libertarianism.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just talking libertarianism. It's not extreme.
Oh. There's a little left of center libertarianism.
Well, what is it? What is it?
It's anti-war, peace and freedom. Let people do what they want, you know, as long as it doesn't disrupt other people.
Well, that kind of stuff is called, I call it common sense, respect for a fellow man, respect for myself, respect for my country, respect for life on earth. I don't call that libertarianism. I call it respect.
I call it libertarianism.
Okay. But, all right. Well, then we can agree.
We cannot have capitalism unregulated. That's absolutely
right,
true.
I mean, right. Well, apparently, and we're just about out of time, Dennis, but apparently we agree. It's just that we're both using different terms and we're banging our heads here, and I don't think it's necessary. Let me just tell you, I used to think I was a left libertarian too, until I really started to examine what libertarianism is, and I realized that what I was doing was just jerking myself around by the throat, you know, whatever. Dennis, listen, I'm glad you called. I hope you call again. We got a boogie here. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. back. It is 7 past the hour. You are tuned to the Malloy program. You know, I think one of the worst alliances in the history of the human race was that between the German Nazi Party and the Roman Catholic Church. No matter how they try to whitewash it, there is photographic evidence all over the internet, if you care to take a look, especially you Catholics, and see what Pius XII did before he became Pius XII when he signed the Concordat with the Nazis. As a matter of fact, you can read the document. It's all there. The Catholic Church saw the alliance with the Nazis, in my opinion, in two very fulfilling ways to them. First of all, it would be retribution against the people who had murdered their Messiah. That would be the Jews. And secondly, it would establish the Catholic Church within the Nazi hierarchy as an institution that would, once again, as history is repeated over and over again, be exempt from any kind of oversight where it concerned the lies, fraud, deceit, child rape, molestations, torture, death, and destruction that the Catholic Church historically is known for. Now, this is history. If you are listening to the program and you think, well, there goes this goddamn Malloy again on his anti-Catholic rant, I don't care what you think about it. This is history. The fact that I'm reiterating it or bringing it up again is incidental to the fact that it is historical truth. And I've asked many times for you people who want to bust my ass because I first of all despise religion, but secondly, see the Catholic Church as an organization that has terrorized humankind. For those of you who don't like that, all I ask you to do, and of course you won't, because if you do, your God will strike you with a bolt of lightning. All I ask you to do is to take a look. There's this wonderful tool called the World Wide Web. And there is documentation, historical documentation, that should awaken even the most dead corpse to the fact that Catholicism is one of the most destructive forces on earth. Always has been, always will be. It was not for nothing that the French philosopher Denis Diderot said, "Man will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest." You noticed he didn't say anything about the war makers or the generals or the revolutionaries or the radicals or the unionists. He talked about the two vicious forms of suppression, monarchy and the church. So, having said all that, what I'm working up to here, the Catholic Bishop of Peoria, Illinois, has compared Barack Obama to Hitler. Yes, I mean, he essentially said that Obama is Hitlerian in the way he governs. Now, this is, I mean, on the one hand, you have the right-wing booger eaters who listen to O'Reilly and Beck and Hannity and all those people insisting Obama's a socialist. On the other hand, you have members of the most fascist organization on earth, the Catholic Church, declaring Obama is a Nazi. I mean, what next? They're going to declare that he is the abominable snowman, that he is Grendel, that he is the beast with 1,000 heads. I've never seen this kind of an attack on a president. I used to attack, for 8 years, I attacked Bush on his policies and his cowardice. But I have never seen, this is so typical of the right wing, of the political right in this country. They have nothing to stand on because the policies of Obama that are fascistic, they agree with. So they make stuff up. He's from Kenya. He's not a citizen. He isn't what he claims he is where it concerns his religion. He's this. He's that. Where's the birth certificate? His mother and father were never married. I mean, just on and on and on. But this, Bishop Daniel Jenke in a mass preceding a Catholic men's march, which I believe is planned for this weekend. The bishop delivered a homily that as, I think this was at Crooks and Liars, maybe not, appears better suited to an episode of the crazed booger-eating Glenn Beck show than to a celebration of religious faith. This guy is a bishop. I mean, he's only, what, two levels beneath the chief fascist, the Pope. So here he is, talking to the men of his congregation, pumping them up for a men's march about something. And he is supposed to be teaching his brain-dead, highly volatile congregation about the love and peace and joy of Jesus. You show me a Catholic priest who teaches strictly about the love and joy of Jesus, and I will show you a person who is about to be excommunicated. As part of the his homily, he got involved in a lengthy historical lecture on past attacks on the Catholic Church, not attacks by the Catholic Church, but attacks against the Church. Jenke claimed that President Obama is, quote, following in the footsteps of Adolf Hitler, end quote. This is what he said. Quote, the church will survive the entrenched corruption and sheer incompetence of our Illinois state government. Wow. And even the calculated disdain of the President of the United States. Calculated disdain? His appointed bureaucrats in HHS and the current majority of the federal Senate. Then he goes on. Hitler and Stalin, at their better moments, would just barely tolerate some churches remaining open. You lying bastard, you! The Nazis and the Catholic Church worked hand in hand to exterminate 6 million Jews. How? The church did not drop any cyanide canisters or any Zyklon B. The Nazis did that. What did the church do? They turned their face away. These great moral arbiters, these followers of Jesus Christ, turned away and did not raise a single objection. Therefore, guilt by complicity. But this freak says that Hitler would just barely tolerate some churches remaining open. Hitler was a Catholic. He loved his church. He loved his pope. He loved his priest. Hitler and Stalin, this bishop says, at their better moments would just tolerate some churches remaining open, but would not tolerate any competition with the state in education, social services, and health care. I guess that's where Obama is like Hitler. He goes on, in clear violation of our First Amendment rights, Barack Obama, with his radical pro-abortion, extreme secularist agenda, seems intent on following a similar path. Well, for the record, Hitler tried to systematically exterminate the members of faiths that he did not approve of, i.e. Jews, pagans, so on and so forth. Obama, by contrast, wants all working women to have access to contraception, regardless of whether they work for a religious employer. The very suggestion that Obama even vaguely resembles anyone in the Third Reich is deeply offensive and calls into question Bishop Jenke's sanity.
To say, tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies, and we'll never rest again. until every Nazi.
Watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, and as usual, you know there are exceptions to the overarching rule that Catholicism is a fascist organization, theory, philosophy that has totally perverted and destroyed the simple message of the person they claim is their redeemer, Jesus, the 2,000-year-old rabbi who walked around the Middle East with 12 guys and tried to get people to stop being so ignorant and stupid and mean and hateful and vicious. And the Catholic Church turned, well, all religion, all Christian religions just turned that on its ass, but especially the Catholic faith. So when a bishop in Peoria, Illinois, states categorically that Barack Obama is following in the same footsteps as Adolf Hitler, I start to see, you know, a whole kaleidoscope of red. You know, it just infuriates me. How dare they do this? An organization that is responsible for more death on this planet than anybody, than any organization, I should say, down through history. Just the slaughter of hundreds of millions of people, indigenous people, Jews, pagans, women they consider to be witches, Protestants, Muslims, just atheists. Start anywhere. Pick any chunk of history in the past 2,000 years. Lay it out on a linear diagram and toss a dart. See where your dart wound up. What century? And then do some exploration and find out the atrocities committed in that century by the Catholic Church. So, my attitude towards religion is to, you know, to keep it to yourself. If you want to believe some of this stuff, go ahead and believe it. You want to go to church, temple, synagogue, mosque, go ahead. But the way the Protestants and the Catholics in the public arena, politicians in this country treat their religion. This is what the commandment was about. Do not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. This is exactly what they do. They use religion as a bludgeon. They drag it out. They shove it in your face. They shove it into the ballot box. They shove it into policy decisions. And you know, how many of these so-called Christians, these religious bigots and freaks and liars, how many of them work for global peace? How many of them work for economic justice? How many of them work for justice, period? Bet's not. So take your religion and put it where the sun doesn't shine. But in the meantime, if these politicians continue to drag their brutal, bloody, phony Christianity out of the closet and slam it up against everybody's face, I will respond. Nobody else will. Nobody else in media. They're a bunch of goddamn cowards. They really are. There's not a single person that I can think of in any kind of broadcast media that will call a fascist where it concerns religion. Oh, we're terrified, Mike. We can't do that, Mike. The right-wingers will come after us. Oh, please. So, where it concerns this bishop, Daniel Jenke, I'll just say what I've always said to these people. Shame on you. Shame on you for taking the simple words of a simple man 2,000 years ago and turning it into the kind of perverted, blasphemous, filthy assault on human dignity that you have. Shame on you. Not that my shaming you will cause you a nothing. I don't exist. I am a flea on the ass of the world. That's all I am. And I understand that. But shame on you anyway. Shame on you. And to people who are Catholic, who continue to walk into a church, continue to allow the hierarchy, this perverted, perverse, child-molesting, demonizing hierarchy, grant you absolution for your sins? Really? Didn't Jesus say, call no man father but God? And I mean, I'm not going to get all divinity student on you because I am not one. It's just that, you know, I try to keep it quiet for two decades. I kept religion out of my political talk show. But all of a sudden, you see, with the rise of the Christian fascist right in this country, and God are they fascist, in terms of politics and their religious teaching and their demonizing, and it's not just Catholics, of course. How many Democratic, Protestant, I'm trying to say Protestants scum, Protestant and Catholic scum who stand in a pulpit in a house of worship Sunday after Sunday, day after day, and spew this hatred, this divisiveness. To hell with all of you. Shame on all of you. Shame on you.
Peace like a river ran through the city. And I remember misinformation follows like a plague.
Here in Georgia, which used to be the buckle of the Bible belt, now it's becoming the zipper of the Bible crotch, I think. But here in Georgia, a bill signed the other day by this almost indicted when he was in Congress, Governor Nathan Deal. The bill he signed will force parents seeking welfare of any sort, food stamps, whatever, to be drug tested at their own expense. Jesus Christ. The new law requires parents applying for temporary assistance for needy families funding, TANF. That's a federal program to help poor families with children. The law will require them to pay for and pass a drug test as a condition of eligibility. Now, there would be court challenges to this, who point the obvious that it violates the Fourth Amendment. That's the protection against unreasonable search. The right-wing sons of bitches who govern, quote, the state of Georgia, said, no, 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 it'll save money and promote personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Gary Weber, who's with the Southern Center for Human Rights, he's an attorney, said, quote, we are disappointed the governor signed the bill, given an almost identical law in Florida was declared unconstitutional, end quote. Let me ask you something. And this is not a question seeking an answer. This is pure rhetorical nonsense that I'm about to toss your way. But these legislators here in Georgia, and Georgia is a is a fascist state. It is one-party dictatorship. There is no such thing as opposition, loyal or otherwise, in the state of Georgia. It's all right-wing Christian Republican. Forget the Republican, forget the Christian. I mean, these people are no more Christian than, Stalin. I don't know, pick somebody. I don't care. They are not Christian, and they are not Republicans. They are fascists, purely and simply. But I have a suggestion. I have a question for you. Why not pass a bill that says anyone who seeks a gun permit be drug tested? Now, I realize that the NRA would like to do away with all gun permits. You know, let children carry guns. You know, if 7-year-olds have weapons at their disposal in their book bags and some crazed Christian comes running in screaming about Jesus and starts killing children, well, the children can all line up and fire back and kill the son of a bitch, right? So why not? Of course, it wouldn't be screaming about Jesus. It'd be screaming about non-Jesus, you know. Death to the atheists! And then the little kids could just shoot him dead. Why not have that? You know, I mean, that's what the NRA would like. The NRA that is composed exclusively of small penis psychopaths. That's all. With the emphasis on either one, take your pick. They want everybody to have a gun. Children, librarians, sports announcers, gynecologists, everybody have a gun. Your mail carrier. But why not take a drug test before you get a gun? Why not be forced to take a drug test before you get a driver's license? You know, a test that you have to pay for yourself. Why is it people who are seeking temporary assistance for needy families? Why do they have to be drug tested? Why not somebody who is seeking permission to carry on his or her person an instrument used exactly as it's designed will kill people? How many people do you know who have been beaten to death by a handful of food stamps? How many people do you know who have used their welfare check to strangle somebody? This is what happens. This is, when you have your system of government slowly eroded and eaten alive by religious fascism, political fascism, this is what you wind up with. People who seek a weapon of destruction should, according to these fascists, do nothing except walk in and say, give me my 30-round clip, semi-automatic pistol, now! Yes, sir. The sale is made. Someone who applies for temporary assistance for needy families. In the first place, why don't you have a job? Well, there aren't any. Oh, yeah, I've got a job. Well, you work for the state of Georgia, if you haven't noticed that. I thought you right-wingers were against that. Hey, we'll have none of that. I'll have the security come throw you out. You want temporary assistance for needy families? Yes, I do. All right. You're going to have to go pee in a cup, take it to a lab, you pay for it, bring us the results. Certified with 3 witnesses, notarized. We're not taking any guff from you welfare recipients. I just need a little help to take care of my family. No, you don't. You're probably going to use your temporary assistance for needy families voucher to go get some OxyContin if Rush Limbaugh hasn't eaten them all up. Ha ha ha, that's a joke. Ha 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 ha. No, I just want to feed my family. Are you saved? This is just astonishing stuff. You should be allowed, according to these knuckle-draggers, to get a gun a license to carry a gun. Well, first place, there should be no license. But since there is that little vestige of an attempt by previous legislatures to try to protect the public by attempting to weed out the religious psychopaths, the political psychopaths, the crazy people who come in and want a gun. I want a gun. Why? Oh, I'm going to go hunting rabbits in my wife's bedroom. Rabbits? But the last vestige, a permit to carry, the NRA and ALEC and the rest of these swine want to get rid of. They want to get rid of them. But to apply for the kind of Christian charity that Jesus talked about, that dear sweet Jesus talked about. For as you did to the least of these, you did it to me. Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Did you tend to the sick? Did you visit those in prison? Did you do any of this? You didn't? Ah. Oh, but you made sure that people who applied for help in my name were drug tested. There is not, as far as I know, a single non-Christian in the Georgia General Assembly. Now, I may be wrong. There may be two or three Jews, but I think they are all either Protestant or Catholic. But they're all Christian. They have no trouble whacking away at the very basic means of survival of poor families in the state. None whatsoever. Jesus be damned is their message. But where it concerns guns? Oh, no, 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 no. Everybody should have a gun. Everybody should have a gun. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus wanted everybody to have a gun. It's right there in the Bible. Corinthians 7, what are you doing over there? What? Oh, it's right there. In Timothy, really? Everybody should have a gun. Yes, 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 yes. But very few people should have temporary assistance for needy families. Especially not if they don't submit to a drug test. Where are they going to get the money to pay for it? Oh, not my problem. But didn't Jesus... Oh, never mind. Never mind. The Center, Southern Center for Human Rights is preparing to file a lawsuit when the state of Georgia begins testing applicants, which will probably begin in several weeks, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Oh, my. Oh, my. Minutes before the hour, and to round out the hour, it is church night. in this Wednesday prayer meeting back in the day. The head, excuse me, the head of the Southern Baptist Convention's public policy arm. That would be the Reverend Richard Land. He, at one time, was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, the president. Those are one-year terms. And over the years, it seems that the SBC has maintained the kind of fascistic attitude that the SBC has always maintained where it concerned people of other faiths, other religions, other philosophies, or none at all. Richard Land is the head of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He has been in that position for 23 years. And arguably, he's the most powerful person in the Southern Baptist Convention, and certainly its most visible spokesman. Now, I'll come back to that in a second. His position, 23 years, head of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Talk about garbled newspeak. We'll come back to that in a second. Anyway, he is condemning the responses of many black leaders to the Trayvon Martin murder case as, his word, shameful. 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 Some black pastors within the nation's largest Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, oh yes, Negroes are allowed now, say that Richard Land's comments are setting back an effort to broaden this denomination's appeal beyond its traditional white Southern base. Don't forget, Southern Baptist Convention was put together in reaction to laws being passed that eliminated American apartheid. It used to be said that the most segregated hour in America is Sunday morning. And that's, you know, still true, but it's especially true in the South, especially true here. The Southern Baptist Convention was founded as a reactionary group that was not going to have any of those dark-skinned members of God's people sitting in the pew with them, singing the same hymns, taking the same communion. What? We're white. They're not. You know, it's a shame that the early depictions, the paintings of Jesus showed him as a Norwegian, which he wasn't. He was a Palestinian. Don't argue. Please don't send me emails about that. He was a Jew. No argument there, right? He was very dark-skinned, if he was anything like his people. Swarthy, dark kinky hair, dark kinky facial hair, broad facial figures. He didn't look like he was from Norway. He looked like he was from the Middle East. But the Southern Baptists, oh no, we're not going to have any of you people who look like Jesus sitting in the pews with us on Sunday morning worshiping him. Get out! And they formed the SBC. Land also says, Richard Land also says, that President Barack Obama, quote, poured gasoline on the racialist fires, end quote, when he addressed Martin's slaying. Remember when Barack Obama said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. Oh, that's pouring gasoline on the racialist fires. The only racialist fires in this country are built up and ignited by white people. Black folks have been trying for 350 years. Look, just give us a break. You know, just give us a goddamn break. Just stop treating us like slaves. But Richard Land said that Obama and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton, have used this case, quote, to try to gin up the black boat
for an African-American president who is in deep, 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 three of them, trouble for re-election, end quote. This is a Christian leader. Listen to this pig. Listen to this filthy, filthy, racist man. Listen to him. Listen to all of them. Make your own decision. Are you going to stuff dirt in your ears? When you have Protestants talk like this, when you have Catholics talk like Bishop, whatever the hell is, or what was he, Bishop from Peoria, are you just going to put dirt in your ears, close your eyes, and not hear what these people are doing in the name of Jesus? How do you do that, my poor, sad Christian brethren? How do you do that? How do you do that? When your own Messiah said if you did, you would go to hell. Wow. Oh, by the way, the head of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for 23 years, that's Reverend Richard Land, kind of reminds me of Pope Benedict XVI, who was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith for a number of years, a.k.a. the Office of the Inquisition. See you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.